Hi, this is Michael Ann Conley, and you're listening to Habits into Health. Do you experience the frustration of being trapped in behaviors you haven't been able to change? Habits into Health is all about helping you experience satisfaction instead. If you've tried positive thinking and willpower to change a problem habit, you know that doesn't work for long, if at all. Habits into Health has a way of helping you turn around your problem habits, and we want to help you turn those into life-affirming behaviors. Our approach is holistic. As much as we want it all right now, most of us know that lasting transformation is supported by small steps taken every day. Doing this and reinforcing this turns old habits into new behaviors. This podcast is all about reinforcing the changes you want to make in your life. Today's show is part two about challenging those habits that you have around the holidays that you may not want to repeat this time around, or maybe you just want to go into the holidays with your eyes wide open to the consequences. After all, you can decide yourself not to eat that pie or take that drink, but what do you do about the family member who just doesn't hear no? You can change you, but not them. So we'll focus today on some more steps in relieving those holiday activities that you feel pressured to participate in, but not so keen about or have mixed feelings about. Of course, before we go there, we always pave the way with a few moments of focused attention. I want to support you in collecting yourself and then being able to listen from a place that is different from the chatter that goes on in the mind. In Habits into Health, I'm encouraging you to practice stepping back from thinking about and enter being with. And this means being attentive to what's going on with the energetic field that you call your body. A lot of people today believe that our world is run by what we think, believe, or feel. This is a deep misperception and denial about the body, which actually is the foundation for everything that you are and know about yourself. Now, maybe there'll be a time, like I'm remembering one episode in the first Star Trek series where the brains were separated from the bodies. But that's not our world. And that's why I say let your body lead so your mind doesn't have to. In so much of our world, we lead from the mind. We can let it follow. For today's exercise, I'm going to read one of my favorite quotes. And then I'm going to guide you in attuning to your response. Now, one thing I do with this exercise when I work with people in my office is I repeat it. So I'd like for you just to notice when I read it the first time, and I'll do that slowly. Just notice where you experience yourself. And then you don't have to grab at remembering the words, because I'll read the quote again. Here we go. You do not need to leave your room. Remain sitting at your table and listen. Do not even listen. Simply wait. Do not even wait. Be quite still and solitary. The world will freely offer itself to you to be unmasked. It has no choice. It will roll in ecstasy at your feet. Just notice how you're in yourself right now. And what do I mean by that, in yourself? Well, sometimes it's helpful to just tune in to where you feel yourself energetically. You might experience energy in your ears because you're listening right now. You might feel an itch or a scratch someplace. You might notice some activity in your forehead or in your back or your belly. This is all in you. Now, I'm going to read the quote again, a little bit slower, and guide you at each step. You do not need to leave your room. Just take that in. If you can, don't attempt to analyze it. Just feel it. Feel this permission. You do not need to leave your room. You do not need to leave yourself. You do not need to leave this moment. Remain sitting at your table and listen. Remain where you are. Be in yourself and listen. Not just with your ears, but with your felt sense. Remain sitting at your table and listen. What is your experience of yourself as you take that in? Do not even listen. Simply wait. Ah, there's another step. Do not even listen. Listening itself is more work than you need to do. Simply wait. Just be. And then, do not even wait. Be quite still and solitary. How does this feel, this invitation? Do not even wait. Even waiting is too much activity. Let yourself be still, not in a shutting down kind of way, but in an available kind of way. Be quite still and solitary, not in a lonely kind of way, but in a sovereign kind of way, solitary in yourself. Do not even wait. Be quite still and solitary. The world will freely offer itself to you to be unmasked. It has no choice. It will roll in ecstasy at your feet. How do you take that in? If you allow yourself to simply be, not having to go anywhere or make anything happen, but just be available to yourself in a still, fulfilled way, the world will present itself. It will say, "Here I am." It has no choice. This is the way of the world. It will just roll in ecstasy at your feet. Now an invitation again. You do not need to leave your room. Remain sitting at your table and listen. Do not even listen. Simply wait. Do not even wait. Be quite still and solitary. The world will freely offer itself to you to be unmasked. It has no choice. It will roll in ecstasy at your feet. Now, isn't that just lovely? This is from Franz Kafka. And it's a perfect way to enter into our topic, which is about steps for surviving the holidays with sanity. In the last episode, we covered the first two steps, and I'll review them here, just in case you didn't listen last time. If you want to know more about them than what I'm going to say now, just look for the episode that says Steps to Holiday Sanity, Part 1. The idea is that when holiday times come, there's a longer to-do list, and sometimes we don't stop to consider whether we're actually engaged in what we're doing. Is that familiar to you? A lot of people talk in my office about feeling pressured to take care of the needs of other people at this time. And some of that might be justified. But some of it isn't. And if you tend to have a very common habit of pleasing others first and yourself last, then this topic is for you. If you know someone who does this, then listen up too. Maybe there'll be something worth offering to that person. Step one is to unabashedly review your history. Make a list of all the activities you get pulled into, commitments you tend to make, and that's whether you want to participate this year or not. The idea is to review those activities you've been doing for years. And if this is your first time listening, just consider what comes up. And also, you could be watchful during the coming week. And you want to list things as you think about them without putting them in any order. We'll prioritize them later. Step two is to clarify your feelings. It's helpful to identify your feelings, so ask yourself this about each item on your list. When I think about doing this activity, when I remember doing this last year, how do I feel? Most feelings are subsets of four basic feelings: glad, bad, mad, or sad. So for instance, calm is glad, uncomfortable is a type of bad, irritated is mad, and gloomy is sad. And you could feel mixed or uncertain. This happens when you feel glad about one aspect of an event or an activity, but bad, mad, or sad about another part of it. Okay, so that was just a brief review of the last podcast. Let's now check out the other steps. Step three is to prioritize your positives. The activities you feel glad about probably give you energy rather than draining it away. But even too many of these can press you for time during the holidays. So compare every glad item with each other glad activity by asking yourself this. If I had to choose between only these two things, which one do I feel more great about? And for each possible pair, circle the one that fits, or make a check. And you want to answer quickly rather than mulling it over. That's because if you answer quickly, it'll keep you in your feelings. You don't want to slip into thinking. Let the body lead, so your mind doesn't have to. Now I'm going to move on. Even if you haven't finished, you can do this on your own. Step four is a little harder. This one is where you choose between challenges. So, okay, choosing between things that makes us feel glad, that's terrific, right? What a choice. But the tricky stuff lies with the items that you feel bad, mad, or sad about. So take these items and compare each one to each other. This time ask this question. If I had to choose between only these two activities, which one do I feel less challenged about? And again, spontaneously circle or check the one that fits for each possible pair. Now here's step five. You want to define your uncertainties. So you're going to follow the same process for the items that leave you feeling mixed. If I had to choose between only these two activities, which one do I feel less confused or conflicted about? Circle the better fit for each possible pair. Step six is exciting because you get to count your choices. You might already have a felt sense of what you choose, but I can tell you from experience that people have been surprised. In this step, what you do is count the number of times you chose each item in each of your categories. Sometimes you'll find that you've chosen two activities the same number of times. In this case, give an extra point to the one you prioritized when you chose between them. This is simple arithmetic, but the process of choosing between only two items actually frees up your brain from getting confused. And when you do the math, you get to find out what you'd really choose more often than anything else. Now in step seven, you're going to lighten your load. So you've now clarified your priorities for the holidays, whether you've known it or not. Congratulations. You know, your life is filled with routine demands at work and home. Holiday stuff is add-on. Most likely, I'm going to guess, two holiday-related activities are enough. Maybe more if you're single and you don't have a lot of family duties. But let's say you had two glad items. Well, Keep them and nothing else. Drop everything else off the list. Notice how you feel about that. If you have three glad items, just drop the lowest one, the one that you chose the least. Obviously, if you have four glad items, you're going to drop the lowest two. But what if you have only one glad item? Well, I would say add no more than the top challenging one and let everything else go. What if you don't have any glad items at all? That could be true. Might be the holidays are filled with just a lot of stuff you feel pressured to do. Then stay with the two least challenges, or one of the least challenges and one of the least mixed. Step 8 is where you say your no. Because I say, well, why go through all of this? But guess what? Because now you can send the following message to the contact people for everything else that you've crossed off your list. Try this. Quote, I've just completed an exercise for prioritizing my holidays, and I've discovered that I won't be participating or attending this year. Have a wonderful time. End quote. That's it. Now, the first time I did this, I was amazed at how freeing it felt. And I'm sure that you will too. Especially if your habit involves having to justify your decisions to others, this little exercise gives you an opportunity to practice. Yes, I know. In the long run, you want to work on that part of you that has to give a reason for saying no. And yet, this exercise is a start. When you give yourself a taste of saying no, I won't be there, and surviving that experience, it's very, very powerful. And that's a part of the Habits Into Health motto. Success starts with small steps. So just start with this one small thing. You might end up saying no to only one activity this holiday season. But if you've never done this at all, or if you've done it and felt guilty, it's a big sigh of relief to do it this way. The other thing we do in Habits Into Health is support kindness. We all want fast results. And yet sometimes results show up later than sooner. Trust that no matter what small changes you try out, it's terrific. Congratulate yourself for trying. And know that I understand that getting reinforcement and support is a big help. In fact, it's necessary. Habits Into Health exists to support you. Here are some options. Come to habitsintohealth.com, and if you want to get started today, I've developed a self-assessment questionnaire to guide you about whether a habit has you. That's a little play on words because we usually say, I have a habit, but really it feels like the habit has you. And when you click on that button, you'll get the questionnaire to check out. And you'll also start receiving my free newsletter, which I send out about twice a month, sometimes three. Before I sign off for now, I'm going to recite for you what Franz Kafka wrote in 1918, almost 100 years ago. Take it in. You do not need to leave your room. Remain sitting at your table and listen. Do not even listen, simply wait. Do not even wait, be quite still and solitary. The world will freely offer itself to you to be unmasked. It has no choice, it will roll in ecstasy at your feet. This is Michael Ann Conley, and you have been listening to Habits Into Health. I support you in turning your old habits around into healthy possibilities for your future. Thanks for joining me.